What a beautiful hymn. Our lesson this morning has to do with reconciliation. Not a term that we use a lot when we're trying to teach others the gospel of Christ. However, it plays such an important role, and it's something that we do need to try to teach others the importance, because in reconciliation means that we're brought into God's favor. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the sin that they committed fell on each and every individual upon the face of the earth. That every individual on the face of the earth would have to shed this physical body. We would have to die. And that was a direct result from the sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 59 and verse 2, tells us, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you." Wow. Look at the point that the prophet makes. That if you're not in favor with God, God is not going to hear your prayer. Wow. That's really important, to be in favor with God. I can't think of anyone else except my wife that I want to be in favor with more than God. And she's not ahead of God. I love her. And she knows that. And she loves me. But God is our first priority. I want to be in favor with God because I want to spend eternity with him. And so I go to 2 Corinthians now, to the letter that Paul wrote, the second letter to the brethren here at Corinth. And I take up my reading at verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now notice the point that the writer here makes. To be reconciled to God, and in order that we might be reconciled to God, we have to be in Christ. That is so important. So that's the first thing I put on my board here. Might be the last thing I put on my board. I get carried away with my lesson. Don't put anything else on there. But being in Christ is so important. It is the most important thing that you can do. You can go out here and you can make all kinds of reconciling parts of paper in a bank to reconcile your checks, which I think some people don't do that much anymore because of the computer. So that shows you that I used to do the reconciling of the checks, not because of something that I did wrong, but Janet does it now. So she can do it on the computer. It's much easier. We would sit down to reconcile those checks, and we'd start out $100 off. Oh, we've got to find the $100. Now, that's okay if it's just a month's worth. But if you are 2 months behind, that's a long night. And we would sit down and check off each check, and she'd check the checkbook, and we'd go through each individual check, find out where we made the mistake. Sometimes we made the mistake. Sometimes it was the error of the bank. But nevertheless, that's how we found the mistake. Being reconciled to God is so much more important than that. Being and brought into God's favor. Paul's dictation that he dictated to the brethren at Rome, in Romans chapter 5 here, if you'll turn here just for a moment and look at verses 10 and 11. He said, "For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So you see, what he's saying here is, we have been brought into favor with God as long as we are in Christ. That's so important. As we take a look at the means of reconciliation, we notice there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 there, and verses 18 and 19, he said, "Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." Did you catch that? You've got to be in Christ to have God's favor. Wow. If you're not in Christ Jesus, then you're not in favor with God. And if you're not in favor with God, you will not have heaven as your eternal dwelling place. You've got to be in favor with God. And he goes on in verse 19 that we read just a moment ago. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You see, God doesn't need reconciling. We need reconciling. We sin. And that's what's divided us between our Father and going to heaven, is when we're not reconciled or in favor with God. It's so important that we understand the importance of reconciliation. And then in Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes to the folks there in Colossae, and beginning in verse 20, he says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself," by him, talking about Christ, "whether things on earth or things in heaven, having been made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Look at the point that Paul is making in this particular passage of Scripture. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So that's so simple. That's such a simple statement. That tells us that if you're not in Christ, you do not have favor with God. I mean, that's all he's saying there. But he's made it possible. He's made it possible that you can have favor with God by being in Christ Jesus. What a such an important point that he makes here. As a matter of fact, John writes in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the Son of God. Be in Christ. And if you are, heaven is yours. When I turn my Bible over to 1 John chapter 4, I think there's a lot of times we preach and teach so much on the importance of baptism, but they don't understand the need for reconciliation. And we need to understand that need. 1 John chapter 4, if you're there, let's start reading there at verse 9. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the atonement for our sins. Something or someone had to pay the price for our sins. And Jesus did just that. Jesus paid the price for our sins. What a wonderful God we got. That he loved us that much, us sinners, he loved us that much that he was willing to give his only begotten Son so that we could live with him. That we could live with God for eternity. So in Christ, look here, I'm getting one thing on the board. If we live, if we are in Christ, we can live with him. For eternity. Eternity lasts just as long as it has no end. It just keeps going on and on and on. All right? So, that's what he said. He said, if you're in Christ, you will live for eternity. Wow. You know, that's how bad God wants the sinners. That's how bad he wants us. He wants every one of us to have salvation. So what does he do? He gives his only Son as a living sacrifice so we could live. What a great God we have. Reconciliation. We can be reconciled to God. Christ died for all. As you can see in your outline, atonement is available to all. Look at verses 14 and verse 15 in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and notice what Paul says. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Did you catch that passage of Scripture, what Paul is saying here? Did you note what he says here to the brethren here at Corinth? If Christ died for us, it certainly is important that we die for him. Wow. How is that going to happen? Oh, we'll see that in just a moment. But I'd like for you to notice what Paul had to say in Romans again. If you turn there with me just for a moment to chapter 11 and look at verse 15. He said, for if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? You see? Now, all of these passages bring out this very important point that we just wrote on the board. You have to be in Christ in order to live with him for eternity. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. The fulfillment of prophecy. The prophet Daniel wrote, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Daniel 9 and verse 24. The second point on your outline. The ministry of reconciliation. The gospel, the word of God of reconciliation. As we go to Ephesians chapter 2 now for just a moment. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want us to take a look here at verse 13. In verse 13, he says, therefore I ask, I'm chapter verse 3, let's go to verse to chapter 2 rather. Chapter 2, verse 13. Now notice what he says. But now in Christ Jesus, You who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. All right, wait just a minute here. Look at what he's saying here. Every single one of us were once far off. There's not a one here that can say, I never was far off. Every single one of us were far off. Have you ever thought about that? Every one of us were. But he said, we have been made near by the blood of Christ. I always say, and I make this point oftentimes, and I'm just making a point here, and that is you must apply the blood of Christ in order that you can be saved. You must. It has to be. How can I do that? Christ has already died. I don't have a physical body here. I don't have any way of taking his physical blood from him. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. I move on down a little bit further to verse 16 here in chapter 2. And notice this. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, talking about Jew and Gentile, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Did you catch that? We have access to the Father. That's important for me. I don't know about you, but I want to know where the access is. How can I get there? Because that's really important. If I want to live with God, and if I want to be brought into God's favor, I've got to be in Christ, and so I want to know how to get there. Well, the apostles were commissioned by Jesus in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that was the apostles' responsibility at that time, to go into all the world at the very beginning of the New Testament church and preach the gospel to every creature. And when I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I take a look here at verse 7, Paul says, talking about the apostles, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Not of us. Look at the point that Paul is making here. When I move down to verse 13, and since we have this same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believed and therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Look at what Paul is saying here. Look at the point that Paul is making here about the preaching and about believing in Jesus Christ and how important it is to believe in Jesus Christ. And we too can be raised from the dead. Jesus was the first to ever be raised from the dead, to prove to us and all mankind that one day every single one of us can be raised from the dead. Oh, yeah. It can happen. Well, let's go on because we still want to apply the blood, so we've got to move a little bit further. Paul made the statement that we are ambassadors who implore on Christ's behalf. So the gospel tells us what sin did to us. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Let's notice what sin did to us. And here's what Paul says. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So what's he saying here? He's saying here, if you're not in Christ, you are alienated. You are shut out from fellowship and intimacy with God. He says you are enemies, hostile, hating, and opposing God and man due to sin. In your mind, the wicked works that you commit. We turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verses 1 through verse 3 and notice what Paul says to the elders there at Ephesus. He says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. He's saying the same thing that we said just a moment ago. He's saying that every single one of us were there at one time. There's not one single person that can say, I never sinned. John says if he says that, he's a liar. And John also writes in Revelation that all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. All of us have been there. All of us have sinned. Look at chapter 4 of Ephesians now. And take a look, if you would, at verses 17 through verse 19. Paul said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God. Look at the point he's making here. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Look at the point that he makes here. And he says, but you have not so learned Christ. Oh, wow. So what the word of reconciliation, the gospel tells us what God did to reconcile us. Go back, if you will, just for a moment to Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at the point. Look at what he's saying here. God demonstrates his love for all mankind. His love for all mankind is, I want them to live with me. There has to be a way for them to live with me. The Hebrew writer says the blood of bulls and goats didn't do it. It took the blood of Jesus Christ in order that we might be able to live with him for eternity. Yes. The gospel tells us that God reconciled us through the death of his son. We read verse 10 just a moment ago. If we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow, what an important point. Peter says that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Jesus accepted the penalty of our sin. He died, and through his death, being sinless, allowed us the opportunity to be able to apply the blood of Jesus Christ so that we could be saved. And so the gospel tells us what to do to be reconciled to God. In verse 20 of our text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Well, how do I do this? By believing, by confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by repenting. Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Be baptized. I want you to go back to chapter 6 of Romans. And I want to back up to verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now notice this just for a moment. Notice the point. You have to be in Christ to come in contact with the blood of Christ. You have to be baptized in order that that blood can be applied. You have to shed so-called spiritual death, the spiritual body, the wickedness. All of that has to be shed when you are buried in that water grave of baptism, and you're supposed to rise up to walk in newness of life. You're supposed to change your life. And that's what it's about. And then that's when we have the reality to understand what sacrifice really means. When we change the way we were before we obeyed the gospel of Christ, and others see the change that's made in us, and sometimes they can't accept that change. But it's not about living eternity here on earth. This world is not going to be forever. It's about being in favor with God. And then we go on to note in this particular point that we must continue in the faith. As Paul wrote to the brethren there at Colossae, where we were at just a moment ago in chapter 1, and here in verse 23, if that two-letter word comes up every once in a while, it's a big two-letter word. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Heaven can be yours. You can be reconciled to God. You can be in favor with God. But you have to be in Christ to do that. Well, what about the moment of reconciliation? As we've looked at these passages of Scripture, you can see on your outline, we move on down and see the urgency and the plea that is reconciled. And we saw that in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 just a moment ago. By delay, one remains alienated from God, lost in sin. Today, hear his voice and do not harden your heart, as the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 7 through verse 8. Obtained when the blood of Christ is applied to our sins. Back up to verse 10 of chapter 5 of Romans, and we go back there again, and we notice we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And we look at verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Yeah. Reconciled by his death. Baptized into his death. The sinners obtain atonement and are reconciled to God when they are baptized into Christ. Reconciliation is in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When I turn my Bible over to Paul's writing to the brethren there at Galatians chapter 3, and I look here at verses 26 and verse 27, and here's what they say. Here's what Paul says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Did you see that? How much simpler can it possibly be? If you're baptized in Christ, you have Christ in you. And if you have Christ in you, you are in favor with God. If you've applied the blood, your sins are washed away. Let's go back, if we would, just for a moment to our text. And let's bring it all together, starting at verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, the God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in him. Wow. As long as you are in sin, you are alienated from God, and you are his enemy. John wrote in 1 John 2:2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You see, Paul wrote, it is God's desire that all men be saved. And so God did his part. God made it so that we could have salvation. He gave us the opportunity to be saved. And this morning we would like to extend that invitation to you. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized, you are not in favor with God. You are still alienated from God. You are his enemy. If you're here this morning and you've fallen away from the gospel of Christ and you're living of the world, you've separated yourself from God. Isaiah says your sins have separated you from God. But God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to live with him for eternity. So extend the invitation. If you're fallen away, you can come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.